The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League and the Champions League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. Arsenal stunned by Sean Dyche's Everton. Harry Kane scores his 267th and record Spurs goal in a statement victory against Manchester City. Liverpool embarrassed at Wolves. 10-man Manchester United see out win versus Crystal Palace. Newcastle United held at home to West Ham in a 1-1 draw. And big spending Chelsea failed to impress against Fulham. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
And Musty, let's not forget about Premier League Pick'em and your chance to win $50,000. Play Premier League Pick'em for free and you can become the next big winner. Download the NBC Sports Predictor app today, available in the App Store or Google Play Store. Right, Mr. Musto, I think we'll kick off with the first game from the weekend. It was highly anticipated. Everton in trouble, new manager Sean Dyche in charge against high-flying Arsenal, who were looking to push ahead and get to that coveted Premier League title. Didn't quite go to plan, my friend, at Goodison Park. Everton came up with a 1-0 win. What was your takeaway? What was your overriding thoughts on that one?
Well, I think you know, of course, it's a huge game for Arsenal, but it was a massive game for Everton, Rob, wasn't it? And you got a new manager in Sean Dyche that I think we both agreed was a good decision to put Sean Dyche in at Everton. The right man for an incredibly difficult job. Everybody sees that. And the protest, by the way, still came before the game, a little bit afterwards as well. But what he did with the team, with the same players that Frank Lampard had, was pretty stark and very effective. And, you know, we saw the best of Everton. There's such a great side of Everton, a great side of this support, which now is, of course, very, very upset and disappointed with the way the club's been run, and rightly so. But right now, I got to think, Rob, that they feel they've got a guy that totally understands them, understands the club to a certain degree. You know, he's never been there before for a period of time. Yeah. But he's the right guy. And that spirit, that energy, what they brought to this game is something that he'll want every week, Rob. And that's going to be the hardest bit. But there's no question. Yeah. Picked a strong physical team, particularly in the middle of the park. Doucouré played, Onana and Jessegana Gay. I am a little surprised they won, but I'm not surprised by the reaction to him, the type of performance it was, and what he got out of those players.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I was watching the game and, you know, you see him being introduced to the fans, you see him on the sideline, Rob, you see, you know, he's, I wouldn't say basic, because that does him a disservice, but I think he keeps things pretty even. I think the players have done the work in the week. He talked about, you know, probably putting two or three things in their head. They were well organised, tactically brilliantly set up, that five in midfield to nullify, you know, Arsenal's passing threat in there that never really got going, never really picked up a rhythm. He just feels, Rob, to me, my first thought was, as I see him standing there, is he's a really good fit for this football club.
Yeah.
One, Rob, that I remember the best of Everton that we've seen in, let's say, more recent years was David Moyes' Everton, who you knew what you were going to get in terms of effort, physicality, hard work. And they had talented players sprinkled along there that did well. The era before that, Rob, if you remember, and I think I played certainly against, you maybe played against, the Joe Royals kind of teams, the bit of the dogs of war, where, again, you knew what you were going to get from an Everton team.
Nick Henry, I get the sense Mike Milligan in midfield.
All that lot, wasn't it? They had, you know, and you know, they had tough players, and they had players who'd been at the club. But it just felt a good fit. I get the sense that Sean Dyche is going to be able to bring that. Now, he talked about it, and it was a great interview you guys did with him after the game about that was the performance I needed for the start, but it is only the start and things have to come. Mm. I just also think that, Rob, with Sean Dyche, that he's got the right personality for this football club.
Yeah.
Everton's a special football club. At the moment, it's in the shadow of Liverpool and has been for a number of years. There was time, you know, way back when, under Howard Kendall, that they were setting the standards and above Liverpool. But there's a way of being at this football club. There's a personality. There's a humour. There's other things that are important to this football club. I think Sean Dyche gets that, Rob. And I loved his little phrase, and I think he mentioned it again when you boys and Bex interviewed him, which his line was, minimum requirement, maximum effort. Mm. And it's just a very Sean Dyche thing. And I was laughing to myself because I said, I could imagine Sean Dyche taking all the boys down to the tattoo parlour on a Thursday afternoon and going, put that on, everybody's going to have this across their arm. Minimum requirement, maximum effort.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what is demanded. And it was interesting, Rob, because it was a very different win to, I would say, most if not any of the wins I saw under Frank. It was done in a different way, with a different style, with a tactical organisation that actually, you know, gave them a base to get the result from.
It's hard not to compare as it was before. And again, maybe wrongly of me, but I do look back at Frank Lampard leaving Chelsea and the next manager coming in and with the same group making quite a big improvement. And I think we might see that again here. The hardest thing, I would think, Rob, isn't it? And you know what's funny about football, right? And I know you understand that there's that... When you say that you give 100% in a game, right? That 100% is only available sometimes. And I'm not going to go on and say 110% and all that rubbish. 100% is 100%. Mm. Now, Everton played at pretty much 100%. Now, it's hard to do that all the time. Sometimes to get to 100, right, and to ring that bell of 100%, there's got to be something on the game. There's got to be something in the stadium, some big cup night or so. Obviously, new manager sometimes brings you to that point. Or when you've got to beat Palace at home, Rob, like Everton last year to stay in the Premier League. Something takes the players to that extra little few percent that you don't really see. Mm. Now, is it, Rob, and I'll throw it back to you, that Everton have to find that last 2 or 3% to be at their very best. And if they drop into 90% effort instead of 100 or 98, then the wins won't come. Yeah. And they, because history says with this group, you know, last season, this season, it's been a struggle for them. The only thing you'd have to be encouraged about is the signings. And they made some good signings with those centre-backs.
Yeah.
And I know Gordon's a big loss going and Richarlison from last year. What do you think about that, Rob? Like, it's just that
yeah,
that is just, there's always
point.
An extra bit for somebody in a unique circumstance. Mm. There's a bit more that players can find deep, deep down.
Well, I hear your point. It's a really good point. And I'll sort of semi-throw it back to you. But I think in some respects, Rob, that 100% is about what's inside the player, who you are, what drives you, what motivates you. Now, what I would say with Sean Dyche is, he was pretty much, for the majority of his time at Burnley, getting 100% out of Burnley players, week in, week out. Got them into Europe one time, Rob. Pretty safe in the league. Close to, you know what I mean? So, now, the point I'll make for Everton, and you mentioned, I looked at Doucouré, I looked at Adrisagona Gueye, I looked at Onana, I looked at DCL, I look at McNeil. Do you know what, Rob? These are better players than he had at Burnley.
Yeah.
These are step-up in player. And the players he's brought in. So the combination of him being able to seemingly know how to touch that button at Burnley to get close to 100 or more, and have the quality of talent where individuals might have days, you know, the front line might be on fire one weekend and score through, you know. I think that combination is what makes me think we will get more performances at a certain level. Mm. Because I think Sean Dyche can... knows how to bring that.
Puts more importance on that.
Yeah.
And that aspect.
And I think that's his experience.
Yeah.
I think, you know, when we, again, comparisons to Frank, and people know what we think of Frank, the player, the man, the manager who's still got to go through some difficult times. Sean Dyche's experience stands him in a different place than Frank Lampard. When he stands in front of a group of players and says something and does something, Rob, yeah. I think it stands him in a better set. Forget all Frank's goals and caps and trophies and all that. You're talking about 20 players in a dressing room who are listening to a manager who have to take it and who have to react to that. Sean Dyche does it better than Frank Lampard.
Yeah, and that, just as we finish off the conversation on them, Rob, it does, you know, when the weekend results happen, we take a little reflection of what's happened the weekend and we pick an underappreciated performer.
Yeah.
And Sean Dyche wins it for me this weekend. You know, I know there's players you could pick out in this game or in other games as well, but Sean Dyche may be a little underappreciated. The job he did at Blackburn, at Burnley. And, you know, you naturally underappreciate how good they were. We're seeing a brilliant example now playing out at Newcastle United with Eddie Howe. Did a great job at Bournemouth, was kind of underappreciated. You remember the last bit, the negative bit, the relegation. Sean Dyche didn't get relegated, but was close to it. And you kind of, is he ready for a different club? So fair play to him. He's shown so far, and we know there's a long way to go, that he's done it. So I want to give underappreciated to Sean Dyche. I think he probably has been over the years for a tremendous job. Now, let's switch it to Arsenal, Rob. On paper, I know the timing was bad for them to go to Everton, to Goodison Park, when there was potential for there to be a good atmosphere and to there be almost a reset, which it was. How much, and I actually asked Mikel Arteta, and we were so lucky to get both managers after this game as an interview direct.
Oh, it was brilliant.
I love it because it's like, oh, right, I'm going to get to ask him a question
next
live.
Level.
Like, I said about what disappointed him most about that. And I didn't, I said to him, I know you'd have prepared for that because that's the easy question, right? It's like, you know, were you ready for that? Yeah. Of course he's ready for it. He played for Everton. He knows what Goodison Park can be like. But I asked him what he's most disappointed with, and he didn't really kind of point to physicality or defensive side or defending the set piece better where the goal came from. He said, disappointed in our attacking phase, in our final third. When we had opportunities.
Side, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what did you... What disappointed you
most
about
Arsenal? It was an interesting response for Mikel, who, listen, they'd lost one game up to this point, Rob.
Yeah.
I think what happened in many respects, the way that everything was set up and the five across the midfield and they'd slowed them down, didn't create that much. So Saka and Martinelli were not real threats. Nketiah had a couple of looks, had good luck early that probably should have done better. But he didn't create an awful lot. There wasn't that flow to the game. So I kind of understood I think Mikel Arteta, you know, all the work they do, the build-up and the playing out the back and the diamond in the midfield and the thing, is to get the ball in certain areas to create chances, to get it to those wide players, to get the overlap. Yeah. So, I think because he didn't get any of that, Rob, that was a bit that kind of, that wasn't really us today because we didn't get any of that stuff that's got us to this position so far. Mm. So it was an interesting answer because I think other managers would have been like, you know, defensively we didn't go light for light with the strength set pieces and all that kind of thing, which obviously changed the game. But it's interesting that his sort of cue was towards the attacking areas of the pitch where they didn't really come alive.
We had a little preview of this game. Me and Danny Higginbotham was on the show this weekend on the Friday. And I was wrong. I basically said, you know what? This is going to be a difficult game. It's going to be a good atmosphere at Goodison Park. But I'm confident that Arsenal's slick movement and their great football will still find a way to play around the pressure and the energy and the physicality. As it turned out. They weren't. It didn't quite work out. And Everton's side of it was brilliant for them. So I guess that was where I was a little disappointed. And I shouldn't be. And I'm not that disappointed. You can't go through. You're gonna lose games. You can't do it every single week.
Correct.
It's a little stumble. It's a little blip. It's a little bump in the road. It's another chance for those young players to learn, Rob. And there's been a few of these last year late on learning experience. Disappointment. They failed. But learning experience. It's another little learning experience. Now, everything's in the reaction of it. And I think another answer that he gave to us was, I love these players even more now. As if, I know that they're going to come back and they're going to want it and they're going to react in their next game. So you can't win them all. It wasn't a great day for Arsenal.
It was
bad timing. But, it was no question disappointing to actually lose the game as well.
I agree. It's a time to love them more. I thought it was an interesting line. And Rob, let's just remember, based on they kicked off the midweek, the weekend's games, and had that defeat. And to be honest, based on what's happened as we sit here after the last game of the weekend, hasn't quite been as bad.
No, it hasn't.
He can go in tomorrow, Rob, and say, listen, guys, by the way, we didn't have a good day, but look what's happened, and we're still 5 points clear. And, you know, so there's a lot of, you know, interest to next two games, Rob, coming up. Brentford away, Brentford at home, Manchester City at home. Two games that'll have a, you know, Brentford in decent shape, a derby that you can't take lightly, and then the City games which are going to be key to possibly, you know, where the title could end up. So a couple of interesting weeks. And I just read it. I was reading this morning, Rob, a couple of things after the game, you know, a bit of Arteta stuff, listening to a couple of interviews. One thing he said, which I thought was quite an interesting line from him, getting a little bit of insight to maybe how it works. He says, the big thing I've got to make sure is right by next Saturday when we face Brentford is our emotional, our emotional spirit. We need to have our emotional spirit right for the Brentford game. Like, maybe can't be too down because of the defeat. Maybe can't be over wanting it because, like, we've lost. Yeah, just kind of making sure our emotional spirit, which I thought was another interesting insight into how he works and how he is with his players. But yeah, you know, great weekend, a little tester. Not as bad as it could have been, certainly from Arsenal's point of view. Great start for Sean Dyche and Everton. And quite rightly, I just want to say, before we finish, he was on my list for underappreciated, Rob. I think he gets a raw deal with the style of football. I think he's a bit of a, known as a, you know, modern-day Sam Allardyce, Tony Pulis. I think he, people might be slightly surprised at what he can do with a better standard.
You've always said that, Rob, haven't it? To be fair to you, you've always said that. Yeah. Okay.
You know, let's see. Let's see. But good start for Dyche, good start for Everton.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. Because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's move it on, my friends, because we spent a little time on that one. Let's take it to today's game, where it was probably the big game of the weekend. Tottenham at home to Man City. It's a Tottenham team in the new Tottenham Hotspur Stadium that City haven't won, hadn't scored before today. The same continued. Haven't won, haven't scored, Rob. Spurs win 1-0. If you could write down the way that Spurs were going to score, you'd probably have half got it. Nick a ball in possession, turn it over, quick transition. If you could write down the man who's going to get the goal, you'd have probably said the Prince himself at home, 267 goals, breaks the all-time record. Great day for Spurs, did what they needed to do, got a good win. Let's start with Spurs, Rob. How important was that? Keeps him in the race. No Antonio Conte, a little, you know, tip of the hat to, is it Christian Stellini, his assistant now, who's been on the sideline, who steered them to a win in Marseille in the Champions League. Remember, they had a big game then. I think Conte was banned for that one. And then another win today in a big game to keep him top four. So, you know, always good to know that your assistant can come and do things. But great win for Spurs, Rob. Sort of closes the gap top of the table, and all of a sudden gives them a sniff into that top four again.
You know, just when you think with Tottenham, like, they disappoint and it's too this and it's too that and it's too defensive and they starve on the young player. They put the forward players. It was totally different today, Rob. Totally different. I mean, I was really surprised. I thought they looked a really good, balanced team today. there was none of that dropping back and sitting so far back and it being boring and quiet and the fans not being into the game. The goal was a great example, and we did a little breakdown of it because this is kind of unusual, Spurs to be that high up. Eric Dier, Rob, was almost in the attacking third pressing. Everybody pressed really, really well for that, and I think I don't think it caught City out in terms of surprise, but it was different. And, you know, of course, Harry Kane's movement is really clever movement. He scores again, and we'll talk individually a little later about Harry Kane. But it was a good performance, Rob. Front foot football, like good. Sometimes defensively strong. Sometimes take the game. You know, sometimes they play a little bit. Sometimes they press a little high and they give up that space behind that they're always worried about. It was really good Tottenham. You know, and Antonio Conte must sit there. You know, I think he's back home, just recovering from his surgery and his gallbladder. Back at home in Italy and stuff. And he must have been very proud of the way that the coaches handled the game and the way that it turned out. I just want to see that all the time. A couple of players I want to point out, Rob, in terms of I thought were excellent. Pierre-Emile Højbjerg again. I mean, that's nothing. I mean, you know, he's that guy that I similar position that I played, right? So I'll always mention when he's had a great game because sometimes people won't notice it. But of course, he made the interception for the goal. There was various other opportunities. He stole the ball so many times in midfield for those turnovers. I thought he was very, very good. And a player that I don't think's great. Emerson Royal. What a game had Emerson Royal had a game. Yeah, what there, a game yeah. was. Yeah. What a game he had at right wing back. And we know Pedro Porro
Jack Grealish
is coming
and Emerson Royal was a great little matchup all day, mate. Great matchup all day.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And we know that Pedro Porro, who for me looks like a really, really exciting wing back, scores goals, assists regularly from that position for his previous teams. But Emerson Royal, I mean, wow, like knowing there's some guy that's just arrived at the club that's going to take your position potentially. I thought he was very, very good. Christian Romero, a bit of a rush to the blood with the two yellow cards. I mean, he's a crazy man. Yeah. He's the most aggressive defender in the league, I think. But no, just summing up, that's better. That's better, Tottenham. I think Spurs fans don't mind a little bit of pragmatism, but there's got to be more of a tilt or a slant to attacking and being ready to counterattack that we saw in this game. So one of the best performances of a Spurs team under the manager for quite a while.
Yeah, it seemed like somehow they can seem to raise it against the cities and the like. What I thought, Rob, what was noticeable to me was I thought there was a real distinction between the different phases, like the mid block today, which was not quite so deep. You know, when they pressed for the goal, I saw a breakdown today where these six Spurs players against the five City, they've almost outnumbered them on the block because they were going to go aggressive.
Well, that's a risk then.
You're right. Yeah, it's a risk, but it's a risk going with you know real intention to win the ball back and turn it over. You talked about that. Højbjerg has almost become a number eight, Rob, from what I thought was a number six who gets it and keeps it neat and tidy. He can get on the end of things now, shows he can be involved in scoring goals. I think he's got four Premier League goals and might be four or five Premier League assists now this season. Emerson Royal, totally agree, written him down, just said, you know, him and Jack, and I thought he came out on top, particularly liked him. I just thought there was a nice change of speed to Spurs today. When they did go and when they did feel, it looked like they were going with real intent and danger. And the only couple of balls came across the box, a couple of other opportunities where they made it difficult for City. Are we going to talk about the great man, the Prince,
now before we get on
to Man City? Probably about right now, isn't it? Because, he's a new king of Tottenham Hotspur. 267 goals to beat the great Jimmy Greaves. It was such a Kane goal, Rob. And I think you mentioned it on the TV today, and I think you've just alluded to it there. His movement for that goal is a classic example of any young centre-forward. As Højbjerg, as the steel starts to come, they win the ball, Højbjerg's looking to poke it. Watch his body movement, Rob. It's the classic where you open up your body to give the guy space to pass into on the inside, but you never lose sight of the ball. That's a big thing, what I would say to kids. I've worked in coaching, we've done a little bit, and people turn like full 60 there, and you don't see, you lose the ball for a second as you're turning, then it comes back into vision. If you watch what Harry Kane does, he opens his body so he's never not facing the ball. So he's never not prepared for whatever pass comes to him that he can take and one touch to find the back of the net. That was the brilliance of it. The finish is what we knew. The brilliance of preparation before that is high end.
It's really difficult. Well, I got another replay in there to try and show that people on our broadcast. Like the second replay was, and because it happened so quick, doesn't it? Replays come through so quickly, and we haven't got too much time. But it's not. That's not natural to turn that way. It's more natural to go off your right foot and you turn away.
Correct.
And then you turn around. And then you miss the. You lose sight of the ball for probably half a second.
Lose sight of the ball for a little bit. Yeah.
So to turn this way, and push off your left foot. Whilst making it, I mean, again, it's a little detail, but God, what an important detail that is, and something he's obviously. Indication of how he's learned the game and been coached really, really well. And absolute legend. I mean, an amazing amount of goals, particularly this year, by the way, Rob, when the team, you know, have been a bit defensive minded, but to be that consistent from at the start, where he'd get pushed out on loan a couple of times, Rob. I remember he went to Leicester and a couple of other clubs. He went on loan at the start
of
his career.
He went to Leighton Orient.
Leighton Orient.
Yeah.
You know, and to come back and do this is phenomenal.
Incredible. I mean, I just quickly, Rob, and I think you've known, so just some of our listeners, and you know, I had the fortune, 2014, Spurs are up in Seattle, they're doing a tournament, we get a chance to go up, I get a call from our boss, Piamu, would I go up to Seattle and spend a bit of time with the Spurs squad? So, you know, perfect, you go up, you see the squad, it was, I think it was Pochettino's first season in charge, talked to Brad Friedel and a couple of others. Spurs are doing a attacking drill. It was Adebayor and Saldana were the two main strikers. And they were doing the balls in, turning, trying to hit the target, trying to think. I've got to be honest, between the two of them, Adebayor and Saldana, they probably hit the target once. I mean, they were really bad at it. Behind the goal, Rob, running to fetch the balls, was a young Spurs player called Harry Kane, was running behind the goals and catching the balls and throwing them back to the coach. And then maybe 20 minutes after the session, he came in and did a little bit of finishing himself. And I remember Brad Friedel, we give Brad credit, said to me, this kid's got something. He said, look at his technique. And even then you could see, well, this is 2013-14. Mm. And since then, he's gone on to become Spurs all-time record scorer. Just, you know, I'll give our viewers a little insight to a conversation we had with Alan Shearer at the Fan Fest, where Alan was saying to us, Rob, wasn't he, that he fears his record to as long as Kane stays in the country, he thinks Harry will beat his record, become the all-time record goal scorer.
I mean, 260.
From those humble beginnings, Rob, 260, it's incredible where he is. And do you know what? I know we might be going on a little longer, but I just want to get this out. He was very close to my underappreciated player of the week.
Yeah.
And why I say that is, he's when we talk of football greats, and Shearer is quite rightly up there, and Thierry Henry in Premier League terms, and then we talk about others. I don't think Harry Kane ever gets mentioned in those terms. Maybe he's not quite as pleasing on the eye as some. His goals, maybe someone will say, oh, I could have scored that goal. You know, he's in the right place at the right time. He's not a dribbler where he's leaving people on the ground and Cruyff turning and all that. I just feel, Rob, like there's a bit of underappreciation about what this guy has done and is continuing to do. And I think it'll be only at the end of his career, only when we see the numbers, only when we see the goals, that people are going to say, God, he's a great, he's a legend.
I know exactly what you mean. And, you know, to be honest, a couple of years ago, I remember sort of we had a conversation in the studio, I think, about, is he world class? Is Harry Kane a world class striker? I thought about it. I said, what he is a world class finisher. He's a world class finisher.
Yeah,
because his heading, his left foot, his right foot, he's a world class. But I guess even in my head, my mind of a world class striker is a, you know, is a skillful, and the step overs and the Ronaldos and the Brazilian Ronaldos and, you know, these players that can do amazing things with the ball and skillful and create. And he isn't quite that guy, but he's still, you know, given that longevity, given the type of goals he scores, he is a world class striker. Right now, of course, he's a world class striker.
Absolutely.
When you look at number nines around the world, and it goes down to your definition of what's world class, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right to mention that, Rob. And I did think about him too, but I thought, well, he's getting a lot of appreciation today, getting that goal. So, but I know what you mean. And the last thing on that, Rob.
Yeah, I wanted to just to put it out there.
And the last thing, Rob, in terms of a little anecdote, remember when we went to the Spurs training ground a few years ago? And, you know, no surprise. This isn't anything crazy, unusual. But as you'd expect, Harry Kane, last one off the training ground, shooting. Free kicks. Remember doing it with Christian Eriksen? They were taking in turns of...
Yeah.
Because Eriksen was the taker, but Kane was on and on. Yeah, and Kane wanted to practice. So, yeah, between that story of running after balls and being on the training ground, that's how you get to be great. And what a lovely guy too, mate. What a lovely guy. And
who did
I ask? I asked Gary Cahill. So we had Gary Cahill at the Fan Fest in Universal Studios, and we're in the green room and stuff. And I said, Harry Kane, because we're talking about Spurs, watching Spurs game, and you know, you play with him with England. You know, what's he like? And basically, his line was, he's just a great pro. He's just a great professional in all aspects. A very serious guy, but a great pro. And I think great pros, great people do well often. And it's great to see somebody like him that's not flashy or loudmouthed or, you know, massive ego, that it's humble and, fair play to him. But let's switch it. Switch it to Man City, my friend. What's going on with Man City? What's going on with Pep?
It's a very good question. Something isn't right, my friend. Mm. Something is not right at that football club. I mean, four losses already this season, which is just not like City. The choice of first 11 with the likes of Laporte, Diaz, Gundogan, Kevin De Bruyne on the bench. Not sure what's going on. Rob, the Cancelo out of the club in the manner that it was and the speed that it was. Something doesn't quite feel right, Rob. Mm. And even after the game, I mean, the last time we saw Pep was proper fired up when they came back 4-2 against Spurs, I think it was, wasn't it? And he talked about the team and expectancy and all that stuff. I thought it was a bit flat today. I thought it was a bit flat after the game. Something's not quite right there. The football isn't quite at the level we've known. That clean possession, that exploiting of spaces, and you know, is not there. I heard Beck talk to you and Danny about that kind of thing and whether Haaland is. People are suggesting maybe Haaland is a problem. He's got the 25 goals, but is he giving enough? Are they a different team? Not totally convinced that's the sole reason. Mm. I think there's a number of things. I think football clubs have rhythms and have, you know, and they're just out of rhythm at the moment, Rob. They're just out of rhythm. Mm. Some of the best players are not playing to their level. Some of their football is not at the speed and intensity that really hurts you and really opens you up. So teams have a chance to stay in games. And listen, the big lad has got 25 goals, and if you keep serving him the right kind of service, he'll continue to score goals. But there is no guarantee this year that that's going to win you the title.
When you pick Haaland and you bring him into the team, you've got to do your very best to play to his strengths. And I think we've seen it when they've done it brilliantly this year. We've done the breakdowns. Brilliantly, crosses, more crosses into the box. And that is going to affect other people's goals. Mm. It's going to affect other people's goals, Talib, because that's different. But if you're going to go down this road of having this guy, then, okay, we're going to commit to this guy. Amazing. We know he's brilliant at what he does. We've got to make sure that we tweak ourselves to be able to get the best out of him. And I think we saw that, Rob, early on. We totally saw it. Then I think it went away a little bit. And then it came back a little bit. And I still think they're a little confused. It's a little... they can't find the rhythm, the new rhythm, to consistently get the best out of Erling Haaland.
With him, yeah.
And remember I said to you, Rob, right beginning with him, I said there's the two I's I worry about with him, with Haaland, about being a superstar, injuries and involvement. Injuries and involvement is what I thought about. Now, injuries have been pretty good, been very, very good. Like, he's played loads of games. But involvement is still, now and again, is an issue, and they've got to find a way.
Is the involvement an interesting, though? Because, I wouldn't say less. I just think when he scores hat-tricks, and when we've seen it at West Ham early on in the season, and he got, a couple of goals, and we're like, wow. He's not that involved in the game, Rob. He wasn't particularly involved. It's not like he's ever 40-odd touches. And, you know, he's not Harry Kane linking the play, buying passes, joining in. He can do, he's very basic with that, can come off, can get it from A to B, but then he gets himself in the right spots where it's going to end up at the end. Now, it's interesting. So the other thing I would say on that, and you make the point about Haaland, and we've done again the patented Kevin De Bruyne ball to Haaland. If you're playing Haaland, Rob, why is Kevin De Bruyne not in your side?
I know.
I mean, is there something bigger going on there? You know, De Bruyne's been named a little bit as one, and you know the manager's talking about like he's not been as fit or something as he's known, and I don't know. It just seems like something isn't quite right, mate.
You know, just quickly on that Haaland point, I know what you mean, and I don't mean I say involvement, I don't necessarily mean zillions of touches. I mean about being the point, being involved in going for the ball, being involved in making the runs.
Like,
you make a good point, because he's not one of those that has to be super involved in the build-up play, but involved in the game means active. He's making runs, he's going for balls, he's challenging the back post. Anyway, back to Kevin De Bruyne. I just wonder. Remember he kind of got left out and Pep said he's not playing at his level? Remember, probably a couple of months ago now, he said he's not playing at his level.
Yeah, it was a little bit just after the World Cup, that was, when we just came back.
Yeah, and it's like, wow, I don't think he's been that bad. And then his face today on the bench, Kevin De Bruyne, his face today on the bench was, you know, and he had that big, Pep had that big snap at the team, didn't he, after they beat Spurs a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know,
and De Bruyne didn't play that day, by the way.
Yeah, and since then, Cancelo, maybe there's a bit of a fallout at the club. Cancelo's end up leaving. De Bruyne is still on the bench, looks miserable.
Yeah.
The team don't look, you know, maybe it's, something's just kicked off a little bit.
Yeah.
And there's a bit of disjointed.
And things happen like that in football clubs, don't you know? Yeah. And listen, no one's going to come out and tell the media because you keep it in-house. No one's going to talk about another pro because your mates or you're in the same thing. But these things happen regularly in clubs that we've been in for, you know, and witnessed. And you have to put a brave face on it, get on. And if you win, Rob, it's things start to go away and people start to get happier. Yeah. When you lose, and if you continue to lose, it can sometimes get a little bit bigger.
They're not going to win the league, are they?
Not based on what we've seen. No, I think it looked, you know, top Arsenal have got every chance to go on and win this league and make the most of the opportunity.
Yeah, that's four losses now they've had. I think they lost three of all of last year. You know, and I run the numbers quite regularly. Well, I don't, not regularly, but I look back and you don't get champions losing. Well, rarely five or more games. They've lost four now.
Let me go back on that, because in fairness to Pep, City and the group, they could still, Rob,
could
go
they?
On an unbeaten run from now to the end of the season. Yeah, they could. They still can do that. They've done it
tougher,
in the past.
Tougher
I'm
to see
I'm
that.
Not saying, I'm not saying based on what we've seen so far, but this team is capable of putting three straight wins, building a thing, and then going on. So I'm not going to quite rule them out yet.
But the
rhythm in that club looks a little bit off. Listen, we'll wait and see if anything starts to seep out or any sort of players start to voice their unhappiness with things. Mm. But really interesting scenario. Great win for Tottenham. Great day for Harry Kane. Well done to them. And by the way, can I just say, again, one last word, and I shouldn't keep going back. The Harry Kane gets his 267th goal, all-time record. The line from Peter Drury was, he dares and he's done. It's like, just like, wow.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? This guy, it's like incredible.
Poet.
Use of you know, finding the right word. Wordsmith, absolute wordsmith.
To
Peter Drury and Greg.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Okay, mate, let's move it on to a team, another team that things aren't going particularly well, and the rhythm's not there, and the headlights are starting to shine on the manager. Mm. Wolverhampton Wanderers 3, Liverpool 0. This was a 10 o'clock game, so I actually watched this game, because I was interested in the state of Liverpool and where they are. I was interested in Wolves. I haven't seen too much of them. Lopetegui coming in, brought in some new players. Looked like he's got, I think that's three wins in this season since he's come through the door. So already starting to make an impact. Did you get to see much of this one, Rob? And obviously the aftermath of another defeat. I think that's three straight defeats away from home now for Liverpool in the league. Mm. 10th in the Premier League. Just like incredible turnaround at the football club.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the 10 o'clocks, wasn't it? And you know what it's like in a studio, Rob, and it wasn't our featured game. There's five games going on at the same time. We have them all on the wall. Of course, we see the highlights and the main incidents, but I didn't get to see the detail of the game. I'm not sure I needed to see too much detail, Rob. You see the highlights, you see the goals, you see the face of Jurgen Klopp, you read the reports like I did on the night, go back home and I read the reports of the games and stuff and the big stories. Yeah. God, blimey. It's... I think the last three away games they've lost to Wolves 3-0. I think Brighton and Brentford away losses of three goals each. There's a 3-0 and a 3-0 and a 3-1 or something, I can't remember. Yeah. But in the space of a few weeks. So that isn't a blip. That to do that for this club is not a blip. There's obviously lots of transition, lots of change needed. Jurgen Klopp looks a bit of a loss at the moment with this squad to try and play their way out of it. I think there's two parts here, mate. There's on the field and off the field. On the field start, I think it's probably come to a point, and I said this before, where we got to go back to basics, guys. I'm sorry, I know we're Liverpool, I know we got these forwards, and I know we got Silky Thiago, and I know we got Trent, but we got to stop goals going in here. Let's start with a little bit of a foundation again for them. That's what I think's got to happen on the field of play. And off the field, Rob, and I'll throw it over to you in a second, but I think he's had 7 years. I think this might be his eighth season, Jurgen Klopp. We know the same years at Dortmund and at Mainz. Mm-hmm. He was ready for new challenges. Never been fired, I believe. And the question is, I'm going to throw to you, given what the perception is right now, that Fenway Sports Group, the owners of the club, who have done a brilliant job, by the way, over more than a decade, isn't it, are interested in selling the club. Cody Gakpo was signed in the January window, but nobody else of note. Yeah. I don't suspect there's going to be a big investment in the summer to rebuild a major part of the team that's needed. If that's the case, and if Jurgen Klopp feels like, this is going to be tough and it's a bit of a scrap again, I've got to try and get him going again without many new players, could it be a time where Jurgen Klopp says, okay, Fenway guys, and it's been a great run, but if I'm not going to have new investment into the team, I'm going to maybe I need a new challenge.
That's a good question. We must spend too much time together, because I'm down the same road. I've kind of written it slightly different, but I thought, based on what we saw yesterday, Rob, this needs bigger surgery than I think we've thought in the past. Is there a sort of 7 to 8 year cycle when, a Pochettino at Tottenham, I go back to a Sean Dyche at Burnley, is there a time, Rob, when it isn't, that players become used to it and all that kind of stuff and know what the reaction is going to be and, the words aren't saying as much? Is that part of it? I don't think Jurgen Klopp will be sacked by this group.
No,
I don't. I could see a possible mutual parting of the ways where they both agree it was one of those things, which could be. So the question to answer your question is, Jurgen Klopp's been a great manager of Liverpool when they've been great, and he's made them great. And his interviews, the hugs, the running on the pitch, a connection with the fans, all that's been like exemplary, and yes, he's a perfect fit for the football club. Can he be a great manager of an average Liverpool team?
No.
When things aren't going so well, when you might have to make some big decisions. Is he too close to some of these players who've served him so well, who've won that first title in 30 years, that you might have to make some tough calls on, Rob, who've got long contracts? But actually, now, I watched the game, Rob. So from the front, and it's a front three of very... when you've got Nunez, you've got Salah, and you've got Gakpo.
Yeah.
Talented European footballers. Yeah. Salah, one of the best in the world. Doesn't look great. But the chemistry and the thing isn't right. Doesn't quite work at the moment. So you've got that. You've got a midfield that everybody in the world knows has got no intensity anymore. Can't press the game. Can't put people under pressure. Can't win balls and start counter. You've got a back... not scoring, making chances, not scoring. You've got a back four that want to play high, that want to get full-backs forward, that have got no pressure in front of them, Rob. They're getting so easily done balls over the back. That two centre-backs this weekend, Gomez and Matip, both not that comfortable on the possession, Rob. So you start building out the back. Your two centre-backs, the two most prominent people who start the build-up, not confident, not... playing through the lines, all of a sudden, there's a lot more to this. And I heard a discussion with Danny Higginbottom, who talked about Mane, and there's absolutely no doubt Sadio Mane brought something and instigated something. But this is way more than one man.
Yeah,
this is way more than one man that could change. If you could get him or the best presser in the middle, that doesn't stop far post defending that Trent Alexander doesn't do. That doesn't stop defenders not closing down on people and giving themselves a little bit of space because they're pressing so high and people can play through at will. There's so much wrong, Rob, that I wonder... So the point I'm getting to is, has Jurgen Klopp got the stomach to do the rebuild, to see out the rebuild?
So this is what I feel like. I think yes, right? And it makes you think about it. Like, has he? I think yes.
Yeah.
But there's got to be two sides of Rob. The ownership have got to step up and say, okay, Jurgen, all right, okay, let's are we ready to go again? And the fact that the owners are about to sell makes me think they don't really want to go there. And that's maybe one of the reasons why they're selling. Maybe a little bit like Man United. They see the money being spent with Chelsea. Mm. They see the new money coming into Newcastle United. And they see their teams that, oh, blimey, we're going to need a new investment to compete with these guys because our fans want them to compete at the very top. And that's a whole new level of investment to go there. Fenway Sports Group, and I kind of get it. They took it in a mess. Klopp came in there, it was a mess. They worked together over those period of years, better, 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 almost win, 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 win. And now, right, like, are we going to go again? So it's a very good question. I think Klopp, yes, has the stomach for it, but I don't think the owners have. I don't think they've got the pockets for it. And that's the fear that the Liverpool fans must have, that Jurgen in the summer, see how they do in the Champions League, and if he gets a hint that the money's not going to come, they're only going to look to buy in a couple of players, then he might say, I ain't got the stomach. And that's why I jumped on your answer. He's not a great manager of an average team. He doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want to be managing an average Dortmund or an average Liverpool. So that could be the moment. The only way around it is if he can find something. Some injuries come back. They find a new groove. That's. But I think that now, to see that come back to where they were, is getting harder and harder. It seems more distant and more distant. But it's not that far away. 92 points. I mean, they almost won everything last year. Amazing, amazing drop-off. It's just
crazy. Could the Champions League be the saviour? I was talking to one of my Liverpool friends yesterday. They got Real Madrid, two legs against Real Madrid, and could they stay in that competition? Could they go all the way in that one and turn it round? I mean, that's kind of what Klopp's done in the past, but you're right. It feels like there's some distance away from that now.
Yeah.
Let me turn my attention to Wolves, Rob, because Liked what I saw. A couple of goals early up in the first, I think, 12 minutes, own goal from Matip, and then Craig Dawson, one of the new signings. So, four of the new signings started. Dawson, Sarabia, Cunha and Lamina all had an influence on the game. Very nicely set up in a pretty much a 4-4-2. But, you know, everybody knows the roles, good positions. Hee Chang Wan got a looks like he might have a bit of a hamstring, but good quality off the bench, Rob. Raul Jimenez, Traore, Moutinho, Pedence off the bench. So quality, you know, is not in any way dropping the standard when players came in. Well organised, good tactical shape. Had to withstand a little bit of a response from Liverpool second half when they came out. You can imagine Klopp got into his players a little bit. They had 15-20 minutes when Liverpool had a little bit of intensity. Nunez had a shot, well saved by Jose Sa, and that was it. They went on and got the third. Neves with a lovely finish. And he's one of them, Rob. Again, I'll go back to the Sean Dyche at the beginning thing. Experienced, organised, tactically smart coach. Wolves will be all right. I get the sense. You see enough things and relationships and the right sort of structure to the team, and it looks all right to me, Rob, with what they've got. They've got enough quality to get themselves out of trouble.
And not a great comparison, but, you know, four new players in the team. Teams need to be refreshed, you know, and that's where, you know, not going back to Liverpool, but that it shows you that a team, new manager, freshened up, new faces, and it can make a lot of difference. So, no, it's a good assessment, mate. Again, you know, hopefully next weekend I'll get a closer look at these two teams. It's not always easy when there's five going on at the same time.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time. Okay, let's jump to the next game, Rob, we're going to talk about. And again, this is another one of those, wasn't it? Man United versus Crystal Palace, another one of those 10 o'clock games.
Yeah, Man United Palace. Yeah, I didn't get to see too much of this.
United obviously won the game. Rashford scores again. 2-1 against Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
Tough at the end, holding on a little bit after Casemiro, Rob, got sent off. Let's jump to that. What did you think to that decision for the Red?
I thought it was a little harsh, mate. I thought there's a number... I thought a number of players go in. I think the referee gets a still of him, you know, with the hands in that position. Listen, I've got... There's no argument that once you see that it can be. But I just thought if you watch that roll in normal speed a couple of times, I thought it was a little harsh. I thought you could have got away with giving him a yellow for that. There was so much going on. It didn't feel like it was that big a physical one, but we know if you put your hands in the face and in that situation, you're going to see a red card. And it's a three-game loss, Rob.
Yeah.
That's a big thing for a Man United team now who are backing with a little sniff.
Yeah.
You know, they're only 3 points behind Man City now and you know, eight behind Arsenal, but... You know, they've got a little sniff at something, and Casemiro is such a huge player for them. Not only just with what he does so well, and we've seen at Madrid, but goals he's come up with, Rob, and big moments for the team when they've needed. So, Sabitzer's in the door. They're talking that, you know, maybe it's ready made for him to come in and play his part.
I think with the Casemiro thing, and you know. We had a really good meeting with the referees, PJ Morel, this week, and kind of going through the process. They showed us a process of VAR, and you know, the VARs are looking at different angles, and there's different replays they get, and some of them are slow motion.
Yeah.
And when you've got somebody's hands around the throat of a player, and it's in slow motion, I mean, it literally looks like it looks a lot worse. So I know what you're saying, Rob. I guess the stock answer is, if you put your hands around the neck and the throat of an opponent, I don't know how long you can get away with it, if at all, then you're running the risk, aren't you? And it is a shame. But again, those angles, sometimes, you know, we looked at different cameras and different angles, and then, like, I was saying to our edit room, no, just run it normal speed. I want to see it normal speed. But there's so many pictures that came down that were slow motion with his hands on his neck there to see that he did that. But anyway, listen, it is what it is. He's going to miss for three games. That's him and Eriksen out, Rob. And Eriksen's such an important player for them. But no, I didn't get a massive look at this game. But United keep rolling on. They keep rolling on. And Ten Hag's
good 3 points,
team and the
absolutely.
Way they play is very, very good stuff. Yeah, very good stuff.
Let's move it to Newcastle United, mate, because they've now got look forward to a League Cup final. Donkeys and chance to win the first bit of silverware that would put Eddie Howe in kind of all kinds of status that you know, up in that part of the world to win a trophy. But a 1-1 draw at home to West Ham United.
Yep.
How will Eddie and the Newcastle fans be thinking about that?
I think they'd be a little disappointed, obviously, given the way they've been playing, Rob. But I did look at this one. This was a later game on Saturday. My thought process, my opinion of this one was, they didn't win. It was 1-1. They started off great and they couldn't capitalise. Yeah. It's hard, particularly after that midweek game, the emotional game of getting to a Wembley Cup final that the fans up there are going crazy about. I understand between that game and that there is enough kind of recovery time, but also for the Newcastle to perform at their very, very best, which has surprised us all, is their intensity. And it's flat out. It's incessant attacking. And that quite wasn't there in this game, Rob. It didn't quite have that energy that they so often need, I suppose, to win games. And they've done it so effectively, like, all throughout the season. And the other part, so energy initially wasn't quite at the level. Going back to our blimmin' percentages, Rob, that where they've been playing at like 97 to 100, and this was probably 93, 94, and it just made the difference. And also, magical players, the sparkling players, Almiron and Saint-Maximin got a start on the left-hand side, Rob. None of their kind of dribbles or combinations particularly worked out. So I just think a combination of those factors, and also on the positive side of it, they never looked like losing, Rob. It wasn't like they had a bad day at the office. They got a little bit lucky. You know, the goalkeeper had to make tons of saves. It wasn't that. They were in control of the game. Yeah, there was some opportunities. Of course, they give up the goal for Paquetar on the set piece. But in general, they looked solid. They just didn't quite have that sparkle. And in some ways, it's understandable, given the games, given the cup, and given the way they play is incredibly difficult physically.
Yeah, I kind of... So, you know, my headline was, I just thought it was an important day to make sure they don't get beat.
Yeah.
I thought it was more like, because what's gone on midweek and the emotion in the terraces and on the pitch for those players, and Mikel Arteta talked about emotional spirit and control, and I just thought a Newcastle of old, or a Newcastle team not quite in the space they're in, would have lost 2-1 to West Ham. Would have just maybe got a goal early and then dropped off. But like you said, it didn't look, you know, a draw was probably a fair result. West Ham, you know, did really well, looked better organised and a little bit more at it than we've seen. Newcastle started the game on fire. Willock obviously had the goal disallowed and threats going forward. So I thought it was one of those good days to get a point. Might be an important point. Of course you'd want three. Of course the standards are a little bit higher. But, you know, it's a good point based on the week they've had and the emotion and those scenes. And I'm sure a few nights out and a few boozy heads of Newcastle playing the League Cup final against Manchester United. Just a word on Anthony Gordon, mate, because there was a lot of talk about him going to the football club. He started on the bench, came off, had a little look at him, played on that right, on the left-hand side, cutting in. Had a couple of little moments, did one or two nice things, a bit of link-up play, had one or two efforts at goal. You seen that as good business? Eddie obviously fancies something about him, likes him. I mean, people are questioning his goal return, his assists aren't that high. He had a little spell in the season, when a little purple spell. But do you see that as the kind of signing where we're going to be talking in Almiron figures and Joe Ellington sort of raise of standard?
I do. Rob, I think he's incredibly talented. I think he's incredibly talented. Now, can he grow a little bit emotionally? Probably. And, you know, he's come a long way in the last 18 months or whatever at Everton. But I think he's incredibly talented. I think it's a very, very astute signing for the football club. I think the fans, well, they already liked a couple of things that he did. Rob, he almost made an assist almost as soon as he got on the field. I'm a fan of Anthony Gordon. And, you know, if we expect what we've come to expect with Eddie Howe with some of these younger players and his attacking players, there's tons of upside that obviously he appreciates. That's why they brought him to the club. So I like it. I like it a lot. And I think he's adds to an attacking line that's got talent. But, I like it. So I think he's going to be a really good signing for the club. Just one other note on them, Rob. I thought they did miss Bruno Guimarães a little bit in the middle of the park. He was suspended. He's out, missed this game. The Brazilian in there. It dictates things. Also allows Sean Longstaff to get forward as a number eight. Longstaff played as a number six in this game where Bruno normally plays. So they had to change in midfield because of that. Actually, quite a lot of players rotated in the midfield. So it wasn't quite there. I do want to jump onto West Ham quick, Rob, because they've kind of jumped on this different system now. That's three games now where they've won the two of them. One was a cup game, I think it's Derby. And they got a good point here. West Ham look better again, healthier again in this different system. I think you're seeing Paquetá playing a slightly different, deeper role, which I like. Naïf Aguerre, the new Moroccan centre-back, made a brilliant challenge,
didn't
he? I liked
him, by the way, mate.
Yeah, made a brilliant challenge.
I liked him, I tell you. He's a player. Yeah, the challenge on Callum Wilson, wasn't it? As Wilson got played through.
Yeah. So I think that's better for them. Three at the back's better.
Yeah, you're right, yeah. Yeah, it looks more like we expect from Dave Moyes and West Ham, and just get a sense they might kick on a little bit now.
Yeah.
Let's talk to the Friday night football, Chelsea-Fulham. Fulham already beat Chelsea once this season. Try to do it again at the Bridge. Game ended 0-0, Rob. I suppose you'd have to say it would be a better point for Fulham than Chelsea. In terms of the game, Fernandes played, started, a little bit of a different look to the team. Hakim Ziyech didn't get his papers through to PSG, then plays on the right-hand side of the field for Chelsea. Where do you sit with Graham Potter? And now the window's shut, now he's got these number of players. Oh, is between now and the end of the season going to be a kind of finding out period for him and the players before I think we get the steps of, right, this is what I'm going with, this is who I'm going with, this is Graham Potter's Chelsea?
Yes, primarily for him, Rob, for Graham Potter. Graham Potter, between now and the end of the season, like others have done in the past, when they took over clubs that were in a bit of a mess and they change them around, I'm thinking of Jurgen Klopp immediately at Liverpool, there's got to be signs of progression, Rob. There's got to be signs of progression. We all understand that this job now is way harder than I think he probably expected it to be, given the amount of money, given the pressure that adds, given the age of the players, given the fact that most of them coming in from different countries and don't speak the language, to try and sift his way through this group to try and find a good team isn't going to be easy. It's an incredibly difficult job, let alone how hard it might be to keep some of these players happy. It doesn't feel like a job for Graham Potter now. It feels like it should be a Carlo Ancelotti or a bigger name that will instantly demand respect and will I don't know, like be a bit more comfortable with not playing in the team because there's a ton of players there. But I do say that because, you know, and I give Graham Potter, of course, early on now, you've got to give him a little bit of break about trying to find effective and really good performances. That being said, right, and maybe I'm contradicting myself a little bit here immediately, right, is that they got to ask more questions than that, Rob, haven't they? They got to create more than that against Fulham at home.
I've got.
I mean, and let me just one more comment, Rob. And again, this might be way off. I might be jumping the boat here totally. But at Brighton, if there was only one thing you could criticise Graham Potter for at that football club was sometimes the attacks were a bit fiddly. They're a bit ticky tacka. They didn't penetrate and score enough goals, but while dominating the game. Tell me, my friend, that we're not going to see a Chelsea version of that where they dominate, but don't p- penetrate, get behind defenders and ask enough questions to score many, many goals.
Well, you've asked me the question I wanted to put out to you. So, when I watch Chelsea, Rob, and structure and personnel and, you know, back four and or back three, but back four in this one, and Fernandez, who looks, you know, so
it's good.
Talented player in that. But what happens with Chelsea? And again, you have to think back to Brighton in a similar situation where they almost slow down the higher they get up the pitch. Things, Rob, around the top end of the pitch are not at the speed that other teams, certainly an Arsenal, a City when they're flowing, a Liverpool when they play with none of that speed and intensity. I was watching the game, Rob, and I was thinking, like, there's a couple of things came to me where, and Mudryk looks like he's got, you know, decent pace. They're not a particularly quick team. So Havertz is your main striker, is not a runner.
No.
Conor Gallagher is like a strider, but he's not quick. Mm. Ziyech is not pacey. Mudryk can go a little bit on the outside. You know, some teams have that threat where people can run past the opposition.
Well, that should be Mudryk, shouldn't it? It should be Mudryk.
It doesn't look to me like he's duplicate. Oh, he's totally going to open things up. But the other thing, what I would say, Rob, is the balls, the speed of their ball possession and movement in the last third is too slow. It is far too slow. Mm. And so people get a chance to regain position and close ranks and block off lanes and things, which I just feel like that's something, you know, we saw a little bit of Brighton, which you talk about leads to goal attempts, shots on goals, more things on target. This is Chelsea, by the way. Chelsea played Fulham at home. Fulham just come out of the Championship, you know, desperate to stay in the league. Marco Silva done a brilliant job. There wasn't a lot between the two teams, mate. There wasn't a lot between the two teams. Willian looks as sharp as a front player as anybody on the Chelsea team. Yeah. And they got rid of him how many years ago?
Listen, Robert, I just want to get your take on the bigger picture, because we started this weekend talking about Chelsea because it was the headline. We're bringing Enzo Fernandez in for a British record fee.
Yeah, yeah.
My take was this. We've never seen this before. We've seen teams spend big.
No.
Blackburn Rovers, Chelsea under Roman Abramovich. And it worked, Rob, right? It worked because they buy the best players at some of the teams in England. They're tried and tested. They get in Aaron Shearer. They go and get Eden Hazard or other. They go and buy.
Yeah.
It's cost them a lot of money, but they buy great players they know are going to get. This is different because they don't really know.
And then they win. Then they win, Rob, the other thing. Yeah. The outcome is they win.
Yeah. So the point is, isn't this an amazing financial investment gamble that these so-called stars of the future are stars? And if they're not, and you don't play Champions League football, then all of a sudden, does this project start to go, oh, this starts to smell pretty bad, and maybe he isn't going to be what we thought he was going to be, and maybe Mudryk isn't this, and maybe he's not that, and maybe he's just okay, and maybe he's a nightmare, maybe he doesn't settle him. It's risky given the young nature of him.
Well, it's a gamble. Yeah, it's a gamble on the recruitment. It's a gamble on, you know, I was thinking about Kai Havertz, Rob, the other day, and I know he might be playing slightly opposition, but he came in with this, you know, one of the best players in Europe, goal-scoring record, you know, he's a new Michael Ballack in that kind of time. He's got real presence there about him. Hasn't quite happened in that room. Timo Werner's been back out the door.
Lukaku,
that hasn't happened.
There's tons of them.
You're gambling, Rob, on these players. They're not sureties. They're not category A-plus already. They're category A players who you're going to hope go to the next level with you and win things along the way. So, listen, it's going to be a really interesting next 6 months, 12 months. This time next year at Chelsea, it's going to be really interesting in terms of where this club are, what they're competing for, and what they're looking like. Because, as you say, an incredible amount of money has been spent. At the moment, it's... I think for me, things are just in the balance.
Just finally on that, Rob, to reiterate that point. If they had to go and got Harry Kane, if they had to go and spent the money and got Declan Rice and these sort of players, then you can see it. You can see a quicker road to titles. But they've gone and they obviously want to produce the best football team on the planet. And they're investment guys. These guys, they want to buy the club. It's a lot of money. Invest a lot of money on it. Be successful and sell it. you know, a bit like Fenway have done, a sports group with Liverpool, and make a ton of money between that and there in the future. But yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, full marks quickly on Fulham, Rob. Same thing. Great shape, great organisation. A manager that will be, in my opinion, if you're a director of football, Rob, or a chairman or an owner of another club in that Premier League, and you want somebody that's experienced and he's kind of proven it now over a few different clubs, he's a Premier League manager.
Yeah.
Marco Silva might be one that's going to jump up in the next 12 months or so. What say you, sir?
Sorry, Fulham fans, I'm not buying Mustos. Get Marco out. Marco's happy where he is. He's in London. He's got a good club. He's got a good size of club. He can have a good influence over the club. Marco's problem in the past is he's moved around a bit too quickly and not put roots down. I think this is a club that's a good size. It's got ambitions. He can put some roots down and you know, get Chelsea looking at where Brentford are and Brighton are and that kind. That's where Fulham want to be and continue to push the odds and you know, punch above the weight. So, yeah, great mention for Marco Silva and Fulham. For Chelsea, let's see what the future holds. Listen, mate, we're gonna wrap things up. Just talk about a few of the other results. I just want to go to Nottingham Forest 1, Leeds 0, first game today. Big game for teams down at the other end of the table. Nottingham Forest, my friend, continue to find a way to win games. Brennan Johnson with a lovely finish from a Gibbs-White free kick. And I'm just going to go for it. My underappreciated form of the week is the Nottingham Forest manager, Steve Cooper. And you obviously know I've come with a reel of stats to make sure that you cannot in any way disagree my underappreciated form of the week. So Steve Cooper started his coaching career at Wrexham Academy, would you believe? Wrexham, that's in the news for all the Hollywood stars now. Then moved on to Liverpool as an academy coach there. Got the opportunity to work with England under-16s and under-17s. Won the FIFA World Cup with England under-17s, which was the Fodens and the Sanchos and the Gallaghers and the Brewsters, Hudson-Odoi, that group that all came through. Gets a job at Swansea. Took them to the playoffs twice. Goes to Nottingham Forest, having got sacked, who was second bottom of the league. Takes them to the playoffs, gets them into the Premier League. So he does a Bielsa job, but doesn't get the Bielsa credit, I don't think, from Forest fans. Has all the players, a million players on loan given to him, which he doesn't probably want them all. Gets on with that. And now has Nottingham Forest sitting 13th in the Premier League on 24 points. And they've not lost at home since September the 16th. Boom.
Mic drop. No, can't argue with that, my friend. I mean, difficult job with all those players coming in. Mm-hmm. He might be another one that's going to prove certainly me wrong in terms of this season. I thought they'd struggle to stay up given the amount of players. But I'm trying to gel a new team. A bit more pragmatic since I think they had a heavy defeat, didn't they? 4-0 defeat. Can't remember where it was. Maybe it was at Leicester. I don't know. But they seem to be more pragmatic now. He's kind of got this diamond going in midfield. He's got so many options in the attacking players. Andrew Ayew came in today, Rob, experienced performer. I kind of like that because he's a fighter. Yeah. He's a fighter who's got a big heart. He's a worker.
And he knows him from Swansea, Rob.
And he knows
talked
him from Swansea.
Talked about it. Yeah. Had a relationship from Swansea.
So I kind of like that.
Yeah, well done, Steve Cooper of Forest,
Yeah, and just quickly on Jesse Marsh at Leeds, Rob. I know it looks bad. I know they are, like, staring at relegation fight again. But I kind of liked some of the stuff today from Leeds, and I know it's a bit of a tough sell. I said it. Rebecca said, you know, would you be worried if you're a Leeds fan right now? Should they be worried about it? And I said, you know what? I kind of like where they're going with this manager, Weston McKennie. Mm-hmm. We're going to see whether he can handle the intensity, the speed, and the mentality needed to be an effective midfield player in this league, which we know all about. We've been there and done that. It is very difficult to perform in that area in the Premier League. We'll see that with Weston McKennie. Other good signings as well. Patrick Bamford worries me a little bit. My kind of thought process for them is assuming a fit Patrick Bamford, and he is fit. Apparently, Manchester City is in good shape, but he didn't look particularly mobile today. So disappointing. Loads of possession. Got to find a way to turn the possession into penetration, attacking, crosses, pullbacks, finishes, whatever. However they got to do it, they got to try and do that. Look more solid defensively now at the moment, which is better. And when you look at the numbers, Rob, in the table, they generally are a team that scores goals, but they've just got to pull it all together. I mean, Marchetti is very happy now. He's got the strongest squad he's had at Leeds since he's been at the club. Today was a setback, but I think they're going to be okay.
Well, I think they got United now, Manchester United, next two games. Home and away, Manchester United. So, yeah. Let's see how the optics look in tough games. But, yeah, look, you know, he's got his players, he's got his squad, window shut now. He's got to, you know, do his coaching, the thing he does best, get on that training ground, make sure they're nice and safe. Just wrapping things up, mate. Leicester got a great 4-2 winner at Aston Villa. I'm sure Unai won't be happy with that. Villa players will be doing a bit of work on the training ground there. And then two wins for two teams that we've come to expect. Brentford 3-0 against Southampton. We're hearing that the fans weren't happy with Southampton. Nathan Jones, I know he came out strongly and talked about how he's going to change things and, you know, some of these players are going to have to do it his way or the high road for them. And Brighton 1, Bournemouth 0. Dezibi, your friend Mitoma again with a late goal. Amazing. Enough to give Brighton another 3 points. Bournemouth in a bit of trouble, Rob. Gary O'Neill and Bill Foley, the owner, talked about this team that were guaranteed to stay up in an interview recently. Well, they got a bit of work on now to make sure that they don't get cut adrift and keep things going. But listen, mate, that's been a pretty long look at the weekend. It was a bit of a crazy weekend, really, when you think we started with an Everton win against Arsenal and then Manchester City can't get you done against Spurs. So a weekend, Arsenal suffered a rare defeat, Liverpool got well beat, and Harry Kane got the goal-scoring record for Tottenham as Spurs took care of Manchester City again at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Date for your diary, we're going to be back on Monday, February the 13th, so make sure it's Monday, February the 13th, when we review all the games from the weekend, and there's a big game that day, which is a very interesting Merseyside derby, and we may have a special guest with us who is a former Liverpool fullback. Can't give too much away, you might want to guess who that is. But for now, I'm Earl, he's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.